Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Ethos isn't an exam subject in our schools, but of course it plays a significant role in day-to-day school life for students and staff. You know, it comes with complexities in regard to what individual schools view as and indeed how they value their ethos, along with how the ethos is actually implemented. And it's a word that you'll hear kind of bandied around a lot, but do we actually understand what it really means? On the line to give us his thoughts, we have Jackie McNair, who's chaplain of Villiers School in Limerick. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Morning, Wendy. How are you? It's good to be back here again.
Well, you're chaplain of a school yourself, so tell us a little bit about what your own school is like and what your school ethos is.
Well, I suppose when you talk about ethos for any community, really, you're talking about the characteristics and the culture that's kind of manifested in its sort of attitudes, if you like. You know, it's the values and the beliefs that the school will support. We here, I suppose, in Villiers, one that is a faith-based school. Our everything that we do here is done out of the teachings of Christ and the Gospels. So that informs all the stuff that we do, including our religious education, for example. You know, and that's something, I suppose, it's something I have a bit of a bugbear about what is religious education exactly, you know.
Explain that to me, your bugbear then.
Well, we often hear religious education tied into the ethos of a school, but really what you're talking about in general, you hear religious education, really you're talking about religious instruction rather than religious education. Religious education as an examinable subject was designed to try and help our young people to come to a place of tolerance and respect and understanding for different faiths and different cultures. So it's very much an academic subject where they learn, they study the five major world religions and an attempt to learn all those respects and tolerances and understandings. And that's religious education. You know, religious instruction is a very different thing. You know? So it's a bit of a bugbear sometimes when I hear that on being mentioned. You know, so I think there is a distinct difference between one and the other. And I think that's important for people to understand
the difference between the two. Sure. In terms of the ethos, though, I mean, is it possible? Like, how do you measure how well a school, for example, implements an ethos?
Well, I think that the ethos for me is a lived experience. You're right in saying it's not examinable. It's not, you can't measure it as such. The only way you can look at it is really how the interactions that take place and the practices that take place on a daily basis within your school community, how is that measuring up to what you hold to be true within your ethos? But I do think that ethos, as I say, as being a lived experience of being part of that community, cannot just simply live on its own merit. It has to be a shared experience. So I think that in order for an ethos within the school community to work, it also has to be a shared experience with parents and with family outside of that. You know, it's like all aspects of education, really. I suppose the question that I'd like to sort of pose out there would be, where does our ethos and where does our education of our young people begin and end? You know, does it begin as they enter the school gates and then end as they leave the school gates? Or does society in general and parents have a responsibility to invest in that ethos and invest in that education, which I would say that they do? Quite often we come across, like every school in the country, you come across issues of children not coping and having high expectations, and families having high expectations of what should happen and what their daily life should be like.
And just kind of pressure being put on those young people, which
absolutely,
is compounded by the modern day realities of things like social media and things like that. You have that on the one hand, Jackie, but then on the other hand, you have this move in terms of where we're not looking at, sometimes there's success, sometimes there's failure. You know, there's this kind of everyone's a winner mentality used. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that what happens with that everyone's a winner mentality, is when those expectations are not actually met. How does someone cope with that? How does a young person cope with the fact that they're being told that they're going to be successful all the time? We need to start getting to a place where we're teaching our young children and our young people that, you know what, sometimes it's okay not to actually be successful. Sometimes it's okay to fail. Sometimes it's you know, you're not always going to meet people who are going to treat you right in life, and that's a reality. And if we don't start teaching that, then we're not teaching coping skills. We're not teaching methods in which young people can actually handle the pressures of, as you say, the social media aspect of it.
And just life in general.
Yeah, well, look, you know, it's like recently we were talking, I was looking at David Quinn, the interview he did on Primetime, and the quote that he made on that. He said that anything done in schools has to be done in partnership with parents. And I totally agree with that. But I think that comes into every aspect of education, including ethos, and including how the whole well-being of our children. You know, that whole new curriculum that's coming on board for the junior cycle, the well-being program that's coming in, has four main pillars. You're talking about it, CSBE, PE, SBHE, and guidance education, all of which can currently exist in our schools. Although I know that there's more going to be added to that. But I still think that we can't simply abdicate the responsibility of well-being to the schools. It has to be, well, what about well-being in our society? What about well-being within our families? You know, who's educating? Who's doing that? And where is that going to come from? And it's not simply going to come from schools. There has to be a change, I think, in society in general towards well-being.
There's set to be well-being programs in school. What are these classes going to be about, and what do you think of them, Jackie?
Well, I think that it's all fairly new coming on board, the well-being program. But the idea of well-being is to actually teach our young people to bring sort of their voice, if you like, into the education system. You know, it's sort of leading students to hopefully doing better at school, but influencing them to become better adults. You know, at the moment, what we have is a system where we have highly academic high achievers coming out at the end of a leaving cert cycle, but whether or not they are have the coping skills to be able to manage as such, that's a different question.
So
you know?
Is it that there's just too much focus on academia rather than things like, you know, emotional resilience and, as you say, social skills and just kind of coping with daily pressures, where we put all the focus on just study and academics?
Yeah, there's a lot of that, particularly at this time of the year. There's a lot of pressure on purely study skills. And I think that's where the ethos of all schools have a huge role to play, you know, in offering time out, offering space, you know, live up to that culture of having a value system, which is about love your neighbour, love God, love neighbour as yourself, and allowing people the time out, allowing people the space to actually come to terms with what's happening to them, to deal with the issues that's taking place in there, you know, and allowing them the chance to discuss their expectations in a proper manner. So that, in order to help them to do that, I know the well-being program won't take away from the education system as it is. It won't be pulling people out of classes, but it will be allowing people to actually become more successful, if you like, in their learning. You know, it's about inclusion, about respect, about listening to the young person. You know, and that's the aim of it. But as I say, I don't think it can be a standalone program. It has to also include parents and include the society in general if it's going to work.
Yeah, as you say, it has to be kind of a holistic approach. And as you said yourself, it's not something that starts and stops at the school gates.
No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. Everything, I think, that happens within a school has to be done in partnership with parents. You know, it really does. And I think there is a system out there at the moment where, obviously, when you start talking about ethos, the society is kind of looking at the moment, and our government in particular is looking at the moment on what ethos of a religious and faith-based schools, what does that mean and what does that stand for? But I think that any faith-based school teaches an ethos that does have a value system and does represent more of a relationship style with our young people rather than simply being that sort of Mayfian approach and get down and study and be purely academic at the end of it.
Jackie, it's been a very interesting discussion. Thanks so much for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning. That was Jackie McNair, who's the chaplain of Villers School in Limerick. Yeah, indeed. I think sometimes we are We're like, not just in school, it's a part of our modern culture, modern society, say, this kind of individualistic, as Jackie said, Mayfane world where we're kind of out for ourselves. And well, obviously the Christian faith teaches us to be exactly the opposite, to be selfless, to be giving, to be wanting the best for others rather than being kind of inwardly focused on ourselves.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie. Yeah.